We want to continue our lesson this evening on the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we begin, I want to remind us and just review very quickly the points that we had this morning. And that will remind us where we left off and also give those who are not able to be with us this morning a chance to catch up with us. We began by talking about the reasons that Jesus shed his blood from Matthew 26:28, that just before Jesus was betrayed and tried and convicted and crucified, as he instituted the Lord's Supper, that he said that this was the blood of the new covenant and for the forgiveness of sins. And we talk about this new covenant that is in his blood. And so that he could bring forth this covenant, that he had to die and he had to shed his blood so that this new covenant could have its beginning. We talked about the church and Jesus mediating this covenant being by the sprinkling of blood, that if it were not for Jesus and the shedding of his blood, that we would not have the church today, the church which he purchased with his own blood, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And so then this is called in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, the eternal covenant which we have today. We continued on from there and we began talking about 10 other things. The first one being the new covenant and the forgiveness of our sins. We began to talk about 10 other things. And we talked about the propitiation, that Jesus himself is the propitiation for our sins in 1 John chapters 2 and 4. And specifically from Romans chapter 3 verse 25, that it is his blood that expiates, that makes propitiation for our sins, that Jesus, his body, his blood, this is the means whereby we are saved. We then looked at this chart and saw that we come into contact with Jesus' blood when we are baptized. And so then all the other things we talk about in this lesson, the benefits, the blessings that we enjoy as Christians, they occur, we receive them when we are baptized. We talked about the fact that we are justified and we are saved from our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. And to be justified means to be rendered righteous or to be deemed as being right. And when does this occur? Well, we are saved, Mark 16:16, when we are baptized. And so we are saved, we are redeemed at the time that we are baptized with the blood of Jesus Christ. We talked about the fact that our sins are washed away with the blood of Jesus Christ. We looked at Acts chapter 22, verse 16, and Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. As Ananias commanded the apostle Paul to arise and to be baptized, washing away his sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. And then we saw in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, as John in his vision saw a multitude of individuals at the throne of God, and there those are the individuals washed with the blood of the Lamb. We are washed with the blood of the Lamb when we're baptized. Peter says that we are sprinkled with his blood, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. And John says that his blood cleanses us from all sin. We are forgiven when we're baptized, washed in his blood, that blood which was shed upon the cross. And therefore, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, that baptism now saves us. Next, we talked about the fact that Jesus' blood releases us from our sins. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, the blood of Jesus has released us from our sins. Released means to set free as one who is in bondage. And we gave the example of Peter, who was in prison. When the angel came and spoke to him, and he arose up, and the chains fell from his hands. We are released from our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ when we're baptized. And we looked at several verses in Romans chapter 6. In this new covenant, having the forgiveness of our sins propitiated, we're saved, justified, washed, released from our sins, and we are sanctified. Sanctify means to purify, to separate from profane things and dedicated to God. We are sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. When are we sanctified with his blood? When we obey the word. We're cleansed by the word. When we obey the word of God. And we notice once again that we are sanctified with the blood of Jesus Christ. When that blood is applied to our souls, when is that? It's when we are baptized. Therefore, when we're baptized into Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, we are sanctified, set apart from profane things, and dedicated to God. Tonight we begin talking about being redeemed, as we've already read tonight from 1 Peter chapter 1, that we are redeemed by Jesus' blood. If you would, let's read once again verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from the futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood, as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And once again, I call upon you to remember as best you can, to remember the story from the Word of God about Jesus Christ upon the cross. And to think about that the very best that you can. And you see that as He gave His body there to be broken, and blood flowed from His veins, that you see that blood which was shed for you, redeeming you. Redeem is to buy back. Let me give you this illustration. I've given it to you before. A bully steals a girl's bracelet. The bracelet was worth about $25. The bully refused to give it back to her, so a friend sneaks off and buys it. Now, the bully wanted $100 for this bracelet. And so this friend goes and buys this bracelet for $100 and gives it back to the owner, to her friend. She redeemed it. She bought it back. In essence, this is what Christ did for us with His blood. We had sold ourselves into sin. We had sold ourselves to the devil. And because of our sin, Jesus Christ went to the cross. He shed His blood. That was the price required to buy us back. Jesus bought us back with His blood. Turn your Bibles with me over to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. And we read just a little bit more about redemption. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses." Remember these verses. Remember Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, that we're purchased from God with the blood of Jesus Christ, that Jesus purchased us for God with His very own blood. And remember Acts chapter 20, verse 28, that Jesus purchased the church with His very own blood. We have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore we have forgiveness because that purchase price was paid and His blood was applied to our soul. When are we redeemed? Well, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, as we have already read, we are redeemed when we are forgiven. And remember Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when are we forgiven? We're forgiven when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins, being baptized, and we are forgiven of our sins. Therefore, when are we redeemed? We're redeemed when we're forgiven, and we're forgiven when we're baptized into Christ. When we're baptized. That's when we're washed in the blood of the Lamb and we're redeemed. The purchase price, redeemed. Now, what is our responsibility? We have to pause and talk about this for a second. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 to a passage again I know you're very familiar with, but please turn your Bibles and please set your eyes upon verses 19 and 20. And I want you to notice in verse 20 that Paul is bringing out this point, that we have been bought with a price. That's what we're talking about with regards of being redeemed. Just as the friend went and bought the $25 bracelet for $100, redeemed it, bought it back from the bully. So Jesus has redeemed us. He has bought us back. And now, brethren, we need to remember that we have a responsibility. Look at verse 19. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" You've been bought back. You were bought back from sin. You were bought back from Satan. You were bought back to be sanctified, set apart, dedicated to God, no longer dedicated to sin. and therefore you are not your own. You belong to someone else, and we do not need to forget that. We are not our own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And that's our responsibility. In everything that we do, every moment of every day, with every action, with every deed, with every word, is to glorify God. We've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And doing that, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, faithfully serving Him all of our lives. Yes, our sins have been propitiated. We've been saved and justified and washed. We've been released from our sins and sanctified and redeemed. And now let's talk about being reconciled. We are reconciled to God by Jesus' blood. Turn your Bibles with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. And through Him, that is God, through Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross, through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. We are reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, which He shed on the cross. And now we have peace with God. This word reconcile means to change or exchange. And this occurs, this is possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. God has made this provision so that we can change from being God's enemy to being God's friend. And I want us all to remember from James chapter 4 and verse 4 that we are the ones who have to change. We are the ones who have to change. That we have to change to live as God has commanded so that we can be His friend and no longer a friend of the world. When does this reconciliation occur? Well, since it's through the blood of Jesus Christ, of course we conclude that it occurs when we're baptized. But I want to look at this just a little further. Look at verse 12. Let's look at the context. We're going to look in chapter 2 a little bit, then we're going to go back to chapter 1 a little bit, and we're going to end up just where we started, chapter 1, verse 20. But I want you to look at all of this context. Chapter 2, and verse 12. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Now let's back up just a little bit to verse 10. And in Him you've been made complete. And He is head over all rule and authority. So we're complete, verse 10, in Christ. Verse 11, and in Him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh being removed, the sinful flesh, having the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, baptized into Christ, raised up with Him. Now look at verse 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, reconciled to God, no longer an enemy with God, now a friend of God, having our transgressions forgiven. Now let's go to chapter 1. Look at verses 12 and 13. 12 and 13. Here the Apostle Paul, as he's beginning this epistle and talking about being in Christ and the strength that we have, verse 11. He says, giving thanks to the Father, verse 12, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That inheritance, when did we obtain that? Well, chapter 2 and verse 12, when we're baptized, raised up together with Christ, having that inheritance of eternal life as a child of God. Verse 13, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, and that is the church. Just a little further down now where we began. Verse 20. And through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And when we're baptized into Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ applied to our souls, made alive together with Him, rising up with Him in newness of life, being complete, the old man cut off, qualified to share in the inheritance, rescued from the domain of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God. We've been changed. We're reconciled when we're baptized. Yes, we have our sins forgiven, saved, we're justified, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are sanctified, redeemed, reconciled, and our consciences are cleansed. Go with me over to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. As we begin this part of the lesson, we talk just a little bit more about those things as Christians that affect us day to day in our day to day lives. To be cleansed and our conscience to be cleansed, our souls being washed in the blood of the Lamb, we are free from the guilt of sin. The dead works, Paul talks about here in Hebrews 9 and verse 14, that result in eternal damnation. We are free from those things. And the guilt of those things have been removed from our consciences. Yes, we'll still think about them. Yes, we'll perhaps even pray about those things from time to time. But we can bear the guilt in our lives. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Here speaking of the blood of Jesus Christ. And how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. No longer drugged down, no longer vexed by the guilt of sin, but freed from that to serve the living God as He deserves to be served. Let me give you this illustration. A man guilty of murder ran from the authorities, always looking over his shoulder, vexed by the burden of guilt for his sins. One day he heard the gospel and obeyed. He repented of his sins. He was baptized into Christ. He was washed in the blood of the Lamb. Then he could deal with the guilt as one who had been made clean in the blood of the Lamb. He returned home and turned himself in. He confessed his sorrow and his guilt, confident in the Lord's saving grace, willing to die as punishment for his sins. After a short trial and much public outcry, he was sentenced to execution in the electric chair. Sitting in the electric chair moments before his death, he said, "I'm sorry for my sins, and I deserve to die. The Lord has forgiven me, and now I go to meet Him and live with Him for eternity. I pray that the pain I've caused will lessen in time and that you'll forgive me too." That's not a true story, but I think it very well illustrates what we're talking about. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And without the saving blood of Jesus Christ, there is no way that we can remove that guilt. That guilt can be removed in our life so that we can serve the living God as He deserves to be served. As children of God, we are forgiven of our sins and can overcome the paralyzing guilt of those sins to face the world and serve God. When are our consciences cleansed? Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And I know we've looked at this. I know we've looked at it already today. We've talked about it several times, but I would like for you to set your eyes upon it again this evening. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for what? For a good conscience. As we appeal to God, how do we make this appeal? It is through obedience to Jesus Christ, the source of eternal salvation, as He has commanded us to be baptized, and with faith in the working of God, Colossians chapter 2. We believe that Jesus Christ washes us in the blood of the Lamb and we have a good conscience before God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we're baptized, cleansed. Our consciences are cleansed from dead works so that we can go forward from that point in life and serve the living God. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, it issued in the new covenant and brings forgiveness. Yes, Jesus and his blood are the propitiation for our sins. We're saved, we're justified, we're washed, we're released from our sins, we're sanctified, we're redeemed, we're reconciled, our consciences are clean, and we are empowered to overcome Satan, touching us more in our day-to-day lives. Turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. In this chapter, John begins to give the message of the revelation for the second time. And here he sees in this vision that Satan, the one who accused his brethren day and night, that he's cast down out of heaven. And I want you to notice what it says about Satan and his war against the saints, as it's talked about in other places throughout the Revelation. Verse 10, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren have been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcome him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death." What was their power, and what is our power to overcome Satan in our lives? The wiles, the deceptions, the temptation, the tricks. It is the power of Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus Christ which we have in our lives that washes us from our sins and cleanses our consciences. Remember in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, as Jesus is giving a message here for John to write to the church at Smyrna, and a passage that we often quote, at the end of verse 10, "Be faithful until death." And the message to these brethren in this book is that many of you are going to die, many of you are going to be persecuted, there's going to be a great tribulation. You will be tested for 10 days. It means a short, complete period of time. Many of you will die for the sake of Jesus Christ. Be faithful unto death. And how were they to do that? By overcoming Satan with the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. When are we empowered with the blood of Jesus Christ? It's when we're baptized. Yes, we still have to make decisions as Christians. Yes, we must still choose to put on the armor of God. But having made those choices, we have that power which is necessary to overcome Satan in our lives. When do we have this? Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. Let me point out something very quickly to you. If you'll look in your Bibles there one more time. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. Let me read just part of it again. "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, and the accuser of our brethren." Who had the power? It was the brethren. The moment you become one of the brethren, you have this power in your life. When do you become one of the brethren? You know when. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "When you obey the Lord Jesus Christ to repent and to be baptized for the remission of your sins," verse 47, "you're added to the church by the Lord, you've become one of the brethren." And you have that power, the power from the blood of Jesus Christ in your life to overcome Satan. One more point in our lesson tonight. We have confidence to enter the holy place. Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. Again, as we are reading and studying throughout this part of the book, and so much talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his blood, verses 19 and 20. "Therefore, brethren, Since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, that's this new covenant which was issued in with his blood, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. Brethren, we have the confidence to enter into the holy place. Well, what is the holy place? Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 6, again, verses 19 and 20 of that chapter. Hebrews chapter 6, what is this holy place? Here talking about this hope that we have. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast and which enters behind the veil. That is the most holy place, figuratively speaking, in heaven. Where is that? That is at the side of God, the throne of God, to enter into the holy place. And behind the veil in the Jewish temple is where God was. Now, as Christians, we enter into that place, into the presence of God, and we have confidence to do that because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ opened the holy place to his brethren, Christians, by entering first. The Bible says he was the forerunner. Being the forerunner, others will follow, as we've already read tonight. Others will follow behind. And you and I, walking in his footsteps, follow behind to enter into the eternal presence of God. As Christians, we have the privilege. As Christians, we have the privilege of standing in the presence of God in the most holy place. When do we have this confidence? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, if you'll turn over there one more time. And I want to point out one word to you very quickly. Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Therefore, brethren, if you're one of the brethren, you have this confidence. If you're one of the brethren, you have this confidence. And once again, when does an individual become one of the brethren? When he obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of his sins. Acts 2:38 and verse 47, he's added to the church by the Lord. He becomes one of the brethren. When we are baptized into Jesus Christ, from that day forward, we have the confidence in our life to enter into the holy place. Now, we do that in one way of looking at it. When we pray to God, we come into his presence. Together as we're assembled, we are in the presence of God as he is in our presence tonight. But yet we are here on earth and he is in heaven. There is a time in the future when we will be in heaven with him. And we will be before his throne, Revelation chapter 22, in the holy place as his children. So therefore, we have a very, very important responsibility. Turn your Bibles with me. But well, if you should still be over in Hebrews chapter 10. But I just want to point out the context here, beginning in verse 23. Now, we talk about these verses a lot, but I want us to understand their importance in light of the context as we've talked about it tonight. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. What is our hope, brethren? To be in the eternal presence of God in the holy place. That is our hope. And therefore, we hold fast our confession without wavering because God promised and is faithful, verse 23. And therefore, there are some things we need to do here upon the earth. In this context, verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. It's so very important that we assemble together as God's children to encourage one another and to exhort one another, because we all have this hope and we don't want one of us to lose this hope of spending eternity in the holy place. We have this confidence because we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hold fast the confession. Assemble. Stir up love and good deeds. Encouraging one another. In so doing, we'll stand in the presence of God as brethren one day in heaven. Let's summarize the lesson. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. So absolutely amazing. So incredible. I hope you're overwhelmed in your spirit throughout this day thinking about the blood of Jesus Christ in your in your life tonight. Blood of the new covenant in which we stand tonight, by which we can have this hope of being in the presence of God in the holy place for all eternity, the propitiation for our sins, expiation of our sins. Jesus Christ and His body, His blood, that which is necessary for the salvation of our souls. We're saved and justified. Our sins are washed away. We're released from our sins. We are sanctified. We are redeemed. Our consciences are cleansed. We're reconciled to God. We're empowered to overcome Satan. And we have confidence to enter into the holy place. When do we receive each and every one of those? The moment we were baptized into Christ. How absolutely incredible is that? Now we're going to offer the invitation. If you're not a Christian tonight, you do not have the blood of Christ in your life, but you can have it tonight. Very simply, if you obey the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author of eternal salvation, believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, this is what the blood of Christ will do for you tonight. I think that's the best deal you'll ever, ever, ever be offered. That's what it'll do tonight. If you are a Christian, be thinking about these things and all the blessings you have through the blood of Jesus Christ. I've decided to follow Jesus. Have you? If we can help you at all tonight, won't you come as we stand and sing?